I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the Rout County check sheet for February 27th, 2018. We have accounts payable, checks cycle date February 19th through February 23rd in the amount of $301,997.82.
Second.
Items note, Tom.
Yes, we had two batches of payments that were put through last week. The first batch included a payment to the Colorado Division of Fire Prevention for the EFF fund, the wildfire account, which is done in the emergency management of wildfire budget, $21,082.19. Payment to Tyler Technologies, and this is from the IT school budget, and this is for the Treasurer's Eagle software support, $10,451.42. Payment to Northwest Colorado Legal Services. This is from the Community Services budget and an HRC allocation of $1,500. I had a payment to QDS Communications. This is for the Comm Center, and this is completion of the 2016 microwave equipment move from Arrow Mount to Mount Vernon. If you remember, we had some problems with that system actually working, so it's finally got all everything all fixed, all straightened out, and this paid for $14,464. In the second batch, we have a payment at Big Sky Communications. So this is the Comm Center, and it was a purchase of headsets for four dispatcher positions, $432. Payment to Chandler Asset Management. This is for the Rock County Treasurer's Office and the Asset Management of County Investments, $1,424.29. This was for January of 2018. Payment to Town of Hayden. One for YVRA Airport Security for January 2018, $14,531. And the second one was the payment to the town for it's a water utility bill for January 2018, $3,772.65. I know that yesterday we had Kevin Booth, the airport director, come in and advise you of the increase in that cost, but just for the water, the payment of $3,772. Was basically twice as much as the $1,684 for the same month last year. And finally, another payment to Tyler Technology, this time still from the IT pool budget, but this is for the assessor software support, $63,751.84.
Any other comments, questions? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Aye. So yesterday we had our county manager update, met with legal, had their update, and had Road and Bridge update and Yampa Valley Regional Airport update.
Do you have a resolution number for item B?
Oh, 02.
Wow. Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we approve consent agenda items A through D with item B being resolution number 2018-02.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So how come we have...
Okay. Good morning.
Morning. I was just waiting for Julie. She's got...
That's fine.
Something to bring up. How are you all?
Good, how are you?
Good.
You're not spraying many weeds today.
No. very few. Hey. Very few.
Okay, we got our 11 o'clock agenda item here. We got an RFP for Road and Bridge, the weed department, and some chemicals. So, Greg or Julie, whoever wants to lead off.
We're here to ask for consideration to approve the purchase and authorization for the signature of the county manager on the purchase order for the 2018 herbicides project for the Road and Bridge Department. We'd like consideration to approve the purchase and authorize the signature of the county manager on the purchase order for Frontier Station Incorporated for the amount of $29,616.02.
Where's Frontier Station located?
Craig.
Okay.
It's one of the Calchecks.
No.
Oh, it is?
No, they okay. kind of split off from MJK 4 years ago,
okay.
I think.
So one of
them, at least a portion of the business got split
okay.
off.
So they split.
They came in.
They did.
At
Frontier
a good price.
Stations became them, and MJK stayed being who they are.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
So
it's the new
I've never
place.
Heard of them.
It's the new place right across from the old MJK.
Okay.
And really nice place that they have there.
Yeah. All right, I have to check it out.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm comfortable with it. I mean, we've been dealing with Snyder and Counts for the last few years, ever since that 1 year when Red River poached the bid. This year the discrepancy was just a little bit too big. I felt we really probably needed to go with the low bid, and it basically came down to one active ingredient, the aminopyrrolid in Milestone and in OpenSight. That's pretty much where they were able to underbid Frank, the Snyder Counts. Yeah. And I. Oh, yeah.
Yes, and we've confirmed if we need more, we can get more within 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because usually that in the past that's been good for 6 months.
I think you're up, Tim.
Chairman, I move to award the purchase and authorize the county manager's signature of the Road Bridge Department contract to Frontier Station Inc. For
the
herbicides for $29,616.02.
Second.
Any other discussion? All
Thank
those
you.
In favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thank you.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think your questions the last time on the mapping or Doug's, I think, prompted that. You know, it's a good addition to the report. Yeah, I'll say.
It took us a few years to get our act together to start with as far as all the software and all that, because it's advanced a lot lately in GIS technology.
So, why don't you lay it off? You guys were a little early, 5 minutes, but so we can go.
Okay. All right. So, Helena put together our annual report with John's assistance, and we had three projects that completed this year to add to our total. And those three projects are the Craig's Ranch, the Czar project, and
Dean.
Devil's Grape, Dean Lawson's property. And we're still maintaining that percentile, the percentage of landowner contribution that we look for, right around 50%. And John and Helena ran some numbers, and you'll see from the summary there that we're still looking at keeping within that 50% approximate in-kind applicant contribution. We saw a little more work from outside agencies putting in some dollars, and I think, John, I think you were the one that calculated out. I think our current cost is about 500 an acre.
Yeah, it's roughly 500 an acre.
From the beginning, from the inception of the program, or just
last
year? Right.
523.
Yeah. So, which is very, very good to see.
Of course, that's an average, too, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
That has,
I mean, when you're talking about $10,000 an acre versus $500
and you look at our map,
or $1,000 an acre, so.
The maroon showing PDR projects, and you can fully appreciate that you're going to be having that disparity between a couple hundred to thousands of dollars per acre. But this is really critical for us, this wildlife migration corridor that's being developed here. That's great to see. And as we know, we've had some really good conservation success, such that we had the transplant of the birds, if you will, down in this neighborhood and onto private property, conserved private property. So we're pleased. We think the program's progressing very well. Again, we're quite happy to see that overall contribution staying at 50%, and certainly commendable to landowners to continue doing that.
In years where you have a lot more requests, do you typically get more landowner contribution, or it doesn't really?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
If we have a substantial ask, let's say four or five projects and it's over $1 million above what we have available, we talk with the sponsors basically to let them know something's going to get cut.
Okay.
You let us know of these projects, which one you really want to go forward in this cycle, because something's going to get cut. If it's a situation where, and that presumes all the projects are commendable projects and they're worth funding. If we've got a situation where it may be a few hundred thousand dollars, relatively speaking, short, and then each landowner, typically their contribution comes up because you take a certain amount off of each property. This last go round, not this one, but the previous one, where we had the interesting situation of one of the groups coming to us after the decisions were made to say, well, gee golly whiz, that's not what we discussed, meaning the sponsors, and trying to suggest that we should reevaluate our funding decision. And that was a situation where the one property owner was willing to donate close to 60%, and the other two were less than 50. And we felt, no, that's, you know, we're looking at that 50%, and that's what we want to see. And so that was a situation where the other two landowners came up to that 50%, and the other landowner went closer. He was still above 50% donation, well above 50%.
It's getting more competitive, though, now.
Yep,
and
yep.
Like you said.
And we're expecting a pretty competitive round.
That's what we heard from all of our updates from all the all of our partners.
We, there is a Yampa Valley Land Trust is coming into the cycle again after a period of absence. And they've got a couple of big projects. So they're taking a look at how much does one ask for, being with regard to the new director and new people working on their board. They're trying to get a feel for locally how much you ask for, how do you play nicely with others, so to speak, and all that. And they're fast learners. And then Cattlemen's has some projects in the works, and they, in fact, my understanding is they have a few projects in the works for a number of years, so they have people lined up, so to speak, to move forward. We did have a very fruitful discussion with Cattlemen's about how their funding process works and how
on
they
on the phone or whether they were here or
no
what?
Eric was here. And we met with Eric individually.
Mm-hmm.
And walked him through some of our concerns about the recent applications, and pointed out some specific details, and some of which he was aware of, some of which he wasn't.
Yeah, I think it really increased his sensitivity to our needs and some of the things that we're really looking more closely at that he had sort of, I think, taken for granted a little bit. Plus, he's short of staff over there, which affected some of their, the way they approached some of those projects. And the other thing we learned, I think, too, was that one project we were questioning, the amount of funding that they were requesting of us, it had been like 10 to 12 years in the making for them. They were that far out in approaching one of the conservation easements, which surprised me. I didn't know they went that far back out. But he said they're sometimes way in advance working on these things. But they're, his.
I don't understand what you just said.
Well, some of the projects that the one project that they came in, we thought they were asking too much of us, and they weren't putting in enough. He said that they had, it was one of those that.
That the owner wasn't putting in enough.
No, it was more, why aren't you getting other sources of funding?
Other sources of funding,
as
right.
As much as we're seeing, some of the other sponsors are really aggressive in getting other dollars.
Yeah, and that's where he mentioned that they were, you know, that particular project, geez, that had been identified like 10 or 12 years ago or something like that, that far back.
Who identified it?
The Cattlemen's Association.
That's nice. I don't know that I like that at all. Whether they're picking out projects that they think should be going forward, and it's not landowner driven.
No, it was a landowner that came to them. It was a significant project, and they knew they had to get other funding sources. So it was them looking ahead and saying, okay, before we approach PDR, we first got to go there, here and go there, and then they went through the federal programs, state programs, and this particular project, they had spent a considerable amount of time trying to get those other sources of income. And that's kind of where he was coming from to explain to us that
it is a market-driven system, though, too. And maybe the landowner might have been driven too much to get too much money out of the situation.
Meaning other funding sources rather than
or just putting more of his percentage contribution into the program, mm-hmm. the project. I mean, if he's expecting 75% back out of the thing,
I didn't get that impression at all.
No, I didn't.
I got the impression that the project was big enough that they felt they had to get other sources.
But we've been doing all that all along. We've been doing these phased projects. I mean, we've been doing Waltrip, and we've been doing
Coberly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we've been a bunch of phased projects just because spreading the money around for different people. Right.
And we didn't specifically talk about this, but the message was clear that we have to take a look at the overall picture for Routt County, and if you all have, if you guys have projects in line for several years, that's your choice. That's your prerogative to run your process that way.
It doesn't mean that we're going to do that one day.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're going to get funded every year.
Again, that's what I was project saying
forward.
As well.
Yeah, and we made that. As I said, it wasn't expressly stated, but it was made clear that good for you, but it doesn't mean you're serving your landowner by them waiting in line thinking that if they wait a couple more years, something will be available.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sure it's never happened in PDR, but are you familiar with any cases where people have gone back out of their conservation easements?
I don't know. Personally, I don't know of one.
Oh, I can.
You don't think it's possible that someone...
Not without a consent.
It would
not without
be.
A consent from us if we're funded them.
I understand that.
And the only way to basically get out of them is condemnation. That's what we went through summers, and we ended up, for a road right away or the rest, that's what we ended up doing.
Oh, he's talking about a landowner trying to get out of it.
So the reason I bring this up is, the concern that I expressed several years ago when I was first commissioner, this concern about some of the properties being conserved right next to town, like we have, for instance, at Oak Creek, project. Let's just say at some future day, Bobby George decides, I really do want to develop this property, but I'd like to get out from underneath the conservation easement. How do you go about getting off money for conservation. I mean, obviously, it would take money. The conservation organization would have to be paid back at current market value.
I think the first huge hurdle there would be able to, and this is just speaking from my perspective, not from any experience, because I don't know of anybody that's done this. I think the first thing you'd have to show is, for whatever reason, the conservation values can no longer be attained, that something has happened such that those values are compromised, ergo it doesn't make sense. A couple of different points to continue in the program. However, you still have the problem of paying back money, and plus interest.
So we've had
plus interest, plus maybe and probably
we did have that.
Not just pay back at whatever the current market rate is.
Right.
If it's higher at that point, then you pay more money.
Right. It's extremely difficult to get out of
one. The reason that I bring this up is that you're familiar with bills that were introduced in the legislature, this continuing concern, especially out of Mesa County, about conservation easements in perpetuity. And kind of the argument that I'm trying to make counter to that is that, well, you know, it's not perpetuity if you're willing to pay it back.
Well, I don't know if you were on the last AG&C call, but one of the things that I suggested, because our membership is at AG&C is at odds on this issue, because I personally don't want the state to create a whole new program that requires funding. And then what are we going to do with the information once we have it? You know, if you're interested in a property, you go to the county's records and you research it. But Mesa County is really pushing it. So then I said, well, why don't we ask the state legislature to amend the bill to say, let's try it in counties that are over 70% public lands, or, you know, let's not do it in all 64. Let's go to the counties like Mesa that have 80%, 90% public lands, whatever they are, and do your monitoring there. Kind of leave us out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was more concerned about the 20-year limitation on conservation easements.
I think that's...
It's not any chance that it's going to pass. I get that. But that's the concern out there. That's what I've kind of been thinking in my mind. Well, if you're at that point in time and someone wants to put it back into the development arena, they could theoretically.
Well, it's an election year, so there's a lot of absurd bills.
So Merrill had always said there's a way out of this at some point in time. If the development goes all the way around a conserved parcel, there's a way to get that parcel back out.
Address the issue and no longer has the conservation.
Exactly.
You can no longer maintain those conservation easement values. For example, if it were a wildlife habitat, you know, once you get all that development around it, you kind of defeated that purpose by creating a park in the midst of a municipal area. So that's what I'm saying. That's the first big hurdle. I see that you have to first demonstrate that the conservation needs it, values cannot be maintained. I can tell you from personal experience that it's extremely difficult alone just to change from one conservation group, a sponsor, to another. And that's a real difficult task, just that part.
You experienced that, or?
We not did. Personally, but with whom I was working.
Yeah. The May.
We have another one coming as well. So.
And that was hard enough.
So practically speaking, these things are a opportunity.
Practically speaking, yes. And kind of getting back to the earlier point you made about the concern of conservation easements being located within an area of future development, that's one of the things, it's a key component of our criteria, is where is it in relation to the public area. And there are a couple of small parcels in the Steamboat area that were conserved, but those were conserved with the idea of providing public access and public use. So that was different, as opposed to the Yampa neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
25.
It's back up in 25 already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it passed in the 06.
Well, and another thing I guess you should be aware of, one of our members, Mary Alice, MA, went ahead, is, okay, got it.
Okay. Wait, she did what?
She stepped down.
She
I
stepped
didn't know
that. For this cycle.
Oh,
for this
okay.
cycle, yeah.
All
because
right.
she,
okay.
she,
right.
she's
I know.
Bringing one forward. And okay. there is another board member who also may need to step down. I don't know for sure yet. And
we're okay,
a third
though,
one.
With that reduced number and representation
yeah. Yeah,
we'll from
that
end
quorum.
Of the county?
Yeah.
We'll
mm-hmm.
be okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard from Carl?
No, I have not.
Me neither.
Carl?
Vail. I haven't heard from him at all this winter.
Which is unusual.
Yeah, he normally emails or calls. He normally in Tucson at this time, but I haven't heard from him.
So while we're still here and still talking about this, and then the three bills, the infamous bills that came up and the rest,
yeah.
you guys all saw tracks of and the rest. And again, so then as Mr. Hermosinski discussing, we're having some little angst amongst some of the AG&C members and the rest, trying to figure out, especially on this recording thing, I mean, there's a lot of angst about what kind of data is out there amongst people wanting to be private and not whatever, mm-hmm. not having their information on the web or on the county website, and then this audit thing coming up on that 1122, this audit thing coming up. Well, that takes care of maybe throwing a whole bunch of money trying to solve what has happened in the past. What are we going to do to make sure that the new ones that we put through forth have that same recording ability, and who's going to be responsible for that database?
So we're going to be PDR.
And what are we going to
yeah,
do with the information?
Yeah,
that's what I keep asking.
Why?
Scott McGinnis, Congressman McGinnis, is the one really pushing this from Mesa County, and I've had some private conversations with him to just say, what are you going to do with it once you have this map?
Mm-hmm.
And again, I understand the concern of having the federal interest in some of these things. Maybe you shouldn't be going to get federal money on it. And yet, at the same point in time, I still respect and appreciate the private property rights.
That's what I say too.
Interests of being able to do what I want to do with my land.
I know. It's,
and yet, we still just were just dogging right on down the road, and we can't figure out how to buy that.
It's an interesting.
Yeah, who's
going to
compensate that landowner that gets savvy about a takings claim, and then they come forward? Who's going to pay for that? You know, us, the taxpayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what transpired with your meeting.
So typically what happens with AG&C is if there's a division in the membership, the lobbyist doesn't even take perspective on the bill. We just remove it. So we're still at odds on this one. And we have another legislative call Thursday morning.
I'm curious, did the folks from Mesa County and the other folks that were interested in this, are they focusing just on that one bill, the recording bill?
No, they're only focusing on the recording bill. And Moffat County and Mesa County are in support of that bill right now. And so my position is let's not do it because what's it going to cost and what are we going to do with the information? But if they're dead set on it, then I want our lobbyists to go to the bill sponsor and say, how about we only monitor counties that have 75% public lands or something above that that leaves us out of it. No, that's another thing we're waiting on is the fiscal note, and Diana thinks it's going to be large.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah.
I remember trying to
go through it. It's like finding mineral rights.
Well, it's a data type thing.
They want the state to take care of it.
But farmlands already takes care of it.
Farmlands takes care of what?
Of the data. I provide.
But I don't think every county does that map. Mesa County does it.
Conservation entity.
Yeah.
Because farmlands keeps a database.
Okay.
They have a huge amount.
That's just these
farmlands. Okay.
These are kind of more or less estimates. I mean, we don't really ask.
I can send you the link of the report that comes out every year.
Yes.
Okay.
And it has.
Be good to bring it up on the call.
Okay.
But the level of research would be similar to what we go through when we try to determine the ownership of a county road. It's like.
Right.
Susan's
I would.
She thought that if she said that she had offered the county years ago to do that, but of course the citizen talked that it was going to cost $50,000 a year to do the research.
And the other thing about this thing is flawed too. Every one of these easements are different. They protect different things.
That's right.
And so how? What good is a database when
even Scott hasn't told me what they're going to do with the information. The only thing he's saying is one day we're going to live to regret this. That we've been entered into all these conservation easements. I still haven't told me what you're going to do with the information.
Well, probably to make a map like this. Mesa County to show just how much they're covered up with conservation easements.
Yeah.
There's nothing left for private development. That's his complaint.
Yeah, and I the map is.
Except that how do you get around private property?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
How do you tell people they can't sell their land?
If anything interesting comes out of the Thursday call, I'll shoot you an email.
Okay. And can anybody just call in?
No.
Oh, okay. You have to be a member.
An AGNC member, and then they I think we were having some eavesdroppers in past years, and now they're getting more strict about changing the phone number and making sure people announce themselves.
And making sure you don't have people in your office when you call.
Yeah. A lot of people are on speaker, and they know it. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess
my dog Louie's heard almost every single call.
And I think it gets back to that fundamental question of if there's a local problem, why is there a state solution being proposed?
Oh, thanks for that line. I'll use it on Thursday.
That is a good line. It really is.
All right.
Anybody else have anything else? We really appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Good work.
And again, you know, we're having a continually changing environment here, too. So.
Is always good as the people. And we've seen throughout, you know, as long as I've been here, I've seen good boards, and I've seen boards that don't function very well, and you guys function really well as a board.
Thank you
very much.
Good staff, good leadership.
Yep.
And Helen, I keep this all in mind.
Thanks.
So I got a quick question. How long is an appraisal good for? I mean, it's a year and a half, 18 months, or what is it?
Depends if it's a yellow appraisal or not.
A yellow.
Right. There's,
oh, is
there's
that
two. Yellow and red. Yeah, there's two appraisals. One is good for 60 days.
Mm-hmm. That'd be red.
And then the yellow one is for 2 years.
And that depends upon what sort of tax.
Yeah.
Tax credits or something like that.
Yeah,
so if you want to go get IRS contribution credits, that's probably a red and needs.
Yeah,
the 60
days.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
really?
It's or only good for 60 days.
$70,000 a piece?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then. Yeah, and then they do.
Oh, it's absurd how much the appraisals
then,
are costing.
Yeah. Most cattlemen's do a lot of the 60 day ones. And then they get the update. So, like with High Country Lamb, they did a 60-day and then they did an update.
But even then, this update's probably half the cost of the original.
I just saw the bill. Mm-hmm. It just came through.
Wow, I need to change professions.
Going to appraisal business.
I know. Well, there's one that probably isn't going to be taken over by AI.
Yeah, High Country Lamb came up. $15,000 and change.
Yeah.
For the appraisal.
For the appraisal.
Yeah. Oh my God. Wow.
$15,000. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that wasn't controversial, so that was good.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
Sure. Have a good afternoon.
Yep. You too.
So we got, are you coming up with the equitable sharing agreement that we.
Yes. I guess the sheriff's not going to come.
Tegan was telling me, says, well, you guys did this last year. She said, you did a consent agenda.
Is that what happened?
Something else. That was the international fire.
Oh, okay.
That's what you guys did last year, too, though.
So is this the distribution of PILT, then, for the local thing? What is this, then?
No, this, I'm sorry, I didn't get you the letter.
This is stuff for the steal from people that are incarcerated.
I just finished it last
year. Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And we don't give it back to them unless they can afford to go hire a lawyer, which, of course, none of them can.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Civil libertarians like me don't like this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I know we haven't scored much money.
No, we haven't scored any money. We've been doing this since 2011, and I'm just going to tell you what the sheriff said last year, which was that this is through the federal government for forfeitures, and it's rare that we get them, but we have this in place so that if there is any, we can get our share, which is 80%.
A helicopter or something.
Yeah. And I'm sorry? Anyway, we haven't received any money, so the whole form is basically zero, and it requires the board's chair's signature and the sheriff's signature. Which
so even at that point in time, and it's elective that we go back and to claim this as well, too. It's not an automatic, I can't imagine.
You guys still go
through
to
a court action or something to do that. And now they have this new bill going through.
No, I think if the federal government gets it, then it would automatically give us 80% of what they take.
Oh, so they go through the process of doing that?
This is what they collect at the federal level.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he says
that might not be any local.
So we were doing that through Asset and GramNet all along, too.
Yes, and that's separate from what the feds might confiscate.
Right, and so he says... the sheriff responded that it is on all forfeitures that the county uses the federal system. If this were to be done on the state system, the county would only get 50% instead of the 80. So that's good. So,
yeah, Mr. Chair.
Just in case we got a mysterious drug deal, and Boomer finds him up on top of the pass.
I move that you sign the annual equitable sharing agreement and certification form for fiscal year ending December 31st, 2017.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.